going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, draft's 2 days away. The intel is rolling in. All the reporters emptying the notebook. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And here's some interesting developments for you, Pearl. From Albert Breer, whose intel is fantastic. On Shedeur Sanders. If he gets past the Giants, I'm not sure what happened next. I would be pretty surprised if the New Orleans Saints took him at 9. After that, maybe it's Pittsburgh at 21. If the Steelers pass, he could fall out of the first round altogether. Couple that with Connor Hughes, who covers the Jets and Giants locally around here, basically saying that Brian Daboll is enamored with Jackson Dart. It's not actually about Shedeur Sanders. So all of the last minute kind of reporting, as I said, emptying the notebook for these reporters does not look great for Shedeur.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Schefter earlier, a week ago, said the window for Shedeur was 3 to 21, meaning 21 was where the Pittsburgh Steelers were. He wouldn't fall below that. Then I think Schefter and pretty much everyone else said, oh, wait a second, maybe he does fall beyond that. So here's the thing, Maggie. If that does happen, if he falls past 21, aren't the Browns or the Giants going to trade up into the 20s to get him? Like, how far can that fall? Can he actually get to day two? As Breer is insinuating here, I think that somebody would make a move if he's available.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't think this is actually going to happen. I'm not just saying, oh, lying season, smokescreen. I'm just saying need and fit. And whether it's the Giants, you're telling me that the New Orleans Saints are also passing and you're telling me that the Steelers are passing. I don't understand how, you know, we listened to that Aaron Rodgers talk for 45 minutes the other day when he wasn't blasting the New York Jets. He was basically kind of being wishy-washy. I thought, you know, reading the tea leaves, this means, yes, he still is interested in the Steelers. You can't bank on that. You cannot bank on that. The fact that the Steelers have to go and get a quarterback in this draft, that's just facts to me. That's like the sun comes up in the next day. The sky is blue. It's as clear as day. The Steelers need a quarterback. You can't go into the season with Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson. That's not going to happen because here's the thing about that. Those guys could mess around and win you 7 games. It's not going to have the, not Skylar Thompson maybe, but Mason Rudolph might. So you might not even be able to execute a tank with that guy because he could be too good of a backup quarterback. So to me, none of it makes sense about Shedeur falling past 21. I'd be shocked. I'll make a show bet with you, whatever you want, because that's how confident I feel that the demand for these QBs and especially Shedeur is going to be met at the moment on Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards, I mean, I think Shedeur does go in the first round, but it's definitely, I'm definitely going under below 8.5. Is it, we have
but
to check that.
But what about 21? I mean, that's
21,
the
21, I feel
really
like right now.
You're telling me it's not happening? Come
here's
on.
My sense of what happened in Steelers building. I don't think they thought Shedeur was going to be there. So I think that they're debating it right now. I don't think it's a no-brainer. I mean, Shedeur takes over that team. What are we really looking at? If you're an AFC North team, are you scared of the Shedeur Sanders Steelers? Because they have a lot of holes.
It's not about just 1 year. See, that's the thing. Like, you know, it's about are you setting yourself up for the future? And listen, the Steelers have no reason to what? Wait around for Arch Manning? Like, they don't have any reason to do that. It didn't work with Kenny Pickett. You can't be snake bitten for the rest of your life because it didn't work out with one guy. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't get you any closer to competing in the league, and you also, in the division rather, and you also have to trust that you can develop him past what he is right now. What's the name of the game at every other position. Why do we expect quarterbacks to be fully formed the moment they step into OTAs?
I think this is a very specific thing to Shador. I think that people look at Shador Sanders and say he's kind of at his upside right now. He's 23, so he's old enough to start. He's older than a year and a half older than Anthony Richardson. He is ready to go. I think they look at him as kind of, this is what you're going to get, because there's not that quote unquote athletic traits. So I'm not sure he's a developed guy. I feel like he's a plug and play guy.
Well, I mean, everyone's a developed guy. Well, and, you know, you're 4 years of college, two at Jackson State. That does not make a quarterback.
Daniels was not a plug.
He was a Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, that was a little bit different. He was playing at LSU.
And what's the big difference? I mean, if you look, yeah, he had a great year last year, but Jaden Daniels and Shador Sanders have similar journeys. I mean, older quarterbacks who got to the NFL after transferring. He's not that different than Bo Nix, for example. Bo Nix immediately went in and was totally fine.
Bo Nix played a lot more college. The other thing, too.
Then Shador? Shador played a ton of games.
I know, but Bo Nix played 4 years at Auburn and then 2 years at Oregon. Shador played two at Jackson State, which is not even on the FBS level, and then played two at Colorado behind a terrible offensive line. I didn't see Oregon being a terrible offensive line. Maybe not the best, but not a terrible offensive line.
I just think they're in the same realm of experience. I mean, Shador is ready to go. You watch Shador play, he does not look like, oh, I need a ton of development with this guy.
Okay, well, that's fine. Maybe he can start, but it's silly to think you don't develop. This is the thing that Tom Brady was railing against when we got a chance to sit in on his talk over the last summer. Nobody develops anymore. It's all dumbing down stuff for quarterbacks. No, of course you have to. Now, here's the one thing, again, we're trying to sift through all this information that's coming through before the draft, and it's coming in fast. Here's another nugget here about the Steelers and what they think about Shador. So clearly their needs are quarterback. They also could use probably a defensive tackle. They need a running back, but you can maybe do that later. Here's what Albert Breer said. This is where a lot of folks think Sanders will land, Pittsburgh Steelers. And Mike Tomlin's relationships could play into that. I don't think there's an overwhelming consensus in the building to pick the Colorado star, but perhaps a growing acceptance of the idea. Steelers have also done a lot of work on Jackson Dart. This is where having a really strong head coach like Mike Tomlin, I'm not saying that Omar Khan is not, the GM has no voice, but I think Mike Tomlin has a very strong opinion in the building. I think he does. And I think a coach who has to be planning for plan A, B, C, and D can't just say, well, Aaron Rodgers, we'll just wait around and he'll make this happen. You can't do that. You'd be derelict in your duties as a coach. And you'd be going into a gunfight with a knife. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but you just go some other journeyman. What's the difference? Get Kirk Cousins.
No, but that journeyman in Shador is not the same.
No, I'm saying instead of Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers
flames up. Cousins you got to trade for. Well, I don't want to do that.
Bring in any. Honestly, I mean, you're getting a hobbled Aaron Rodgers. Is it that big of a prize? I don't think so. I think you can kind of find that production if you really, really need to, or trade for somebody, or do whatever. Honestly, I think the way they view Rodgers is like, there's no desperation to get Aaron Rodgers there. I think they're like, yeah, it'd be nice if he played it. Do you sense it? Like, oh my God, we're all in on Aaron Rodgers.
I do not, because A, I think they're being respectful of Rodgers having stuff going on in his personal life. But two, I think they're not saying we've got to go all in for Rodgers, because I think they have a plan to draft Shador Sanders. Like that,
I think they have,
or whether it's Jackson Dart, they're coming out of this draft with a quarterback. They have to.
But I don't think that that's been the plan all along, because they didn't know Shador was going to be there.
They've been doing intel on this now for months. Maybe you start to get the sneaking suspicion at the combine. I mean, when is the first time we heard, you know, some things coming out about Shador might not be worthy of a first-round pick? Greg Cosell put this out months ago.
Yeah, I mean, Lance Zierlein didn't have him as a first-rounder. It was really good.
And that was like at the end of January.
But I can't believe that. I think that they thought the Giants were in on Shador because the Giants basically were Team Shador from day one of the season. And by the way, they still could
be. Yeah, they still could be.
Yeah, so I don't think the Steelers, I think it's more likely that they were planning on, hey, Rodgers is not going to show up and we're going to do some desperate old guy move instead of, like, let's plan for Shador. That could not have possibly been the plan, but there's still 100 variables. That's not a plan. That's a possibility.
I'd love to know from the Steeler fans how you guys feel. And don't tell me it's Mason Rudolph. Like that, now you're you're coping. You are coping. If you're like, you know what? You know we need to try to face off against Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson? Give me some Mason Rudolph. Like,
I honestly think there are a lot of fans who are like, don't give me Kenny Pickett 2.0. Ironically, the same exact position.
Right.
I think there are a lot of people who be like, we're getting Shador, who is... I mean, is there a better comp for Shador Sanders than Kenny Pickett? Wildly successful college quarterback with no physical traits? They're same things.
I mean, I think Shador would probably be even more successful than Pickett. You know?
Pickett's last year was fire.
Good. It was fine.
Way, way better than Shador's. Yeah, I think he had 42 touchdowns, 7 picks, and ran like crazy.
Yeah, I guess, if you want to say that. But here's the thing. Kenny Pickett clearly didn't have it. And whatever
he
it is.
He definitely had it in college. There is no doubt. He was a fantastic college
player. But he failed on the pro level. That happens. But here's my thing, bro. You can't, you're do this job for as long as you do. If you're Mike Tomlin or you're Omar Khan, you're going to miss. It's going to happen.
Right.
They decided to take a quarterback at a weak draft. And it was Kenny Pickett was the only first round pick. You want to say, like, they're getting the up close and personal view. It seems like they still like the guy, or at least they're accepting of his, you know, skill set. You want to just like wait around and wait around and wait around. Where does that get you? What does that do?
Well, listen, they did it last year. You're right. And it didn't work. I just think that there is an argument that, you know, Shador is an opportunity. You take Shador, that means that you're stuck with him for 3 years. They might look at that and say, I don't know if this guy is good enough to be our quarterback for the next 3 years. That means nobody else can be a Steelers quarterback. If you commit to this guy, you're in for a penny, in for a pound. I think that there's some fear. You know, it's a big choice. Even if he falls to you, it's a big decision. That means we are going to be built around Shador. And I said it yesterday, it's cold in December. Shador feels more like a warm weather quarterback to me.
I just played at Colorado. He's fine.
Yeah, but...
He's literally played in Colorado. It's still snowing there.
Not a big guy, not a big arm guy. Did he play in the snow at Colorado?
I mean, it's going to be cold. It's not like he was playing at Ole Miss.
Yeah, I really think he, and I think Deion knows this too, would be much better served to be in Vegas or New Orleans or Arizona. I get him into a dome with that sort of style of quarterback. I think he'd be better off.
And so that goes to my point, which is I don't see him slipping past the Saints, let alone getting to the Steelers. I mean, I think that people forget about what need does to teams, especially when it comes to quarterback. You can fart around with other positions. You don't do with quarterback. It's the one position that gets artificially inflated. And I'm admitting that it's inflated. I know that Shador is probably not the ninth best player in this draft. I get that. But you're telling me that Shador as new face of the team, influx of positivity, something fun, something new, and actually the guy can play football, which I think he can, then this is how quarterbacks fly. The draft process is tailor-made for quarterbacks. We know that. It's happened time after time. Why we think this would be any different, I do not understand.
Well, I just think that the stuff about new and fun, like, I don't think NFL teams are responsive to their fan bases. They know the fan base is always going to be there. It's not like other sports where there's any question. You know, if you live in New Orleans, there's no way you're turning on the Saints. It just would never, ever happen. So you don't have to worry about that. I think that...
Turning your back on them.
Yeah. I just think the issue is the opportunity cost. If you take Shador, that means you don't get a shot at the next quarterback. I think that has to be in a front office's mind. It's a bad quarterback draft. Maybe next year's is better. I know that's the lie we tell ourselves every year. Yep. The next year's quarterback class is amazing. But I do think that if you take Shador, if you take Kenny Pickett, if you take, if you take Jake Locker in 2011, if you take, Trey Lance or Zach Wilson.
You're just talking about the misses.
Yeah, which is, what, 55%?
Okay, well, let's talk about the hits, though. I mean, nobody expected that Bo Nix was going to be this good his rookie year. You mentioned, I mean, maybe thought Jaden Daniels would be. No one thought Michael Penix was going to be going as high as he did. Like, it works both ways.
Yeah, I just think that it does work both ways, but you could get really stuck with a middling quarterback if you don't love the guy. And I think Yeah, those guys. Last year, it was a very strong quarterback class. I mean, look at Michael Penix was in the national title game.
Yeah.
Bo Nix was unbelievable. It was untouchable at Oregon. J.J. McCarthy won the title. Those guys were really accomplished. Mm-hmm. This year, we're looking at Jackson Dart. I mean, I'm sorry about Jackson Dart. Like, this is not the same same.
No, it's not. I mean, let's be fair. Cam Ward didn't win anything either. And Shador gets credit for turning Colorado around, you know, because they were in the depth.
Right. But J.J. McCarthy actually hoisted the, what's his, egg still?
No, it's a...
Crystal ball?
No, the crystal ball is gone.
Yeah, what is it? Is it like a little trophy? It's like, I can't even remember. What do they hoist?
No, remember, did you guys not see when Ohio State went to the White House last week and the vice president, J.D. Vance, broke it? Apparently, it's actually detachable. Just nobody told him. So they sent him away.
Yeah, what? How would you describe it?
It's like a trophy. It's a more standard run-of-the-mill trophy.
I'm still going to call it.
Gold trophy, no?
Yeah. And
I'm still going to call it the crystal egg.
And it's got a football on the top, right?
The crystal ball goes to, like, the best team that finishes, like, in the coaches' rankings or something like that. Like, that trophy still exists. The BCS.
The crystal football?
The crystal football still exists.
That thing was so freaking impressive. It was like having a cool chandelier. It, you know, I got a chance when I was at Sports Illustrated to do, like, a lot of college football tours and go to a lot of these athletic departments. And you would, like, go into, you know, you walk into, I don't know, Auburn, Clemson. Well, I don't actually think Clemson had one. Who had one? Ohio State. And this cool, sparkly...
football-looking thing.
Football was just there under glass. So cool. And then they replaced it with something not as cool.
So there's not actually a football on top, but there's just the shape of a football.
The shape of a football, right.
Yeah.
And the bottom comes out.
When you say,
Mr. Vance.
When you say, Nico, there's not actually a football, did you expect like a leather football to be on top of it?
Like the Lombardi.
I don't know if people were picturing like the crystal ball on top of the tube.
We're making trophies worse these days. You know, have you noticed like Stanley Cup, crystal football, Lombardi, like the classic ones are way better than what we got now.
I never
liked
the...
Did you see the college basketball one? I'm like, what is that, a plaque?
I actually had no idea. I did not see that.
It's wood.
I don't like the baseball one.
The flags?
Yeah, is that still
what they got? It's iconic until the commissioner called it a piece of tin.
Yeah, one time we got...
I like the 26
flags. A DP show, we got
the 30 flags on it.
Somehow, Harold Reynolds, MLB Network, sent his gold glove to the DP show.
Mm.
Nico could have made it in his bedroom in 15 minutes. It was basically a glove, spray painted, whatever color, and
gold.
It was so cheap. It wasn't even really gold. It was so cheap. I couldn't believe it.
Well, how many years had it been since Harold had won it?
I mean,
maybe it faded.
It didn't. It was just very poorly made. We were remarking on it like you could have ripped off the glove and used it and had a catch. I thought it'd be more of a trophy.
Stanley Cup's the best trophy. There's an aura about it too, because the guy who comes with the kind of like Harry Dunn haircut with the gloves on, you know.
There's going to be a look-alike of competition. Not competition, but a look-alike get-together outside of the Hockey Hall of Fame for the guy who handles the Stanley Cup.
We should know his name. I've met him now like twice.
Oh, is he still part of it?
Oh, yeah.
Blonde hair, parted down the middle.
Yep.
His name is, I want to say Phil or something along the lines of Phil.
He's going first name?
He's got a name like that. It's
Phil.
Like a Phil.
What are you doing here? He's seen some things. You know, great
Paul,
debates
maybe?
Usually happen
on... Pritchard?
Yeah, Phil Pritchard. That sounds right.
Good pull, Pearl.
Or is that the guy from Modern Family, Phil Pritchard?
Phil Dunphy.
Phil Dunphy, thank you. That's who I was thinking of. Because I remember his name was similar to Phil Dunphy.
Yeah, great debates are on Wednesday. We should have done best trophy. We may still.
I think we might have done that. Yeah, we definitely done that.
Maybe we have.
And it was hard to beat the Stanley Cup.
It's so good.
You can't drink beer out of most of these trophies.
Or like baptize a baby in it.
Nope. The Stanley Cup is multi-use, which makes it amazing. Take it in the ocean. Nobody took that crystal ball into the ocean. It was Waterford crystal. Very nice.
It was so cool. I don't know why they changed it.
They changed it with the playoff, right? 2014.
Dumb.
Remember when that guy had the Stanley Cup and he dropped it and it dented during the celebration?
That must happen all the time.
I don't know if it happens all the time. I can only recall it happening once to who was it? Kube Ole?
I mean, but that's what we see, Manny. This thing gets to spend a day with every person on the roster. You don't think he gets dented?
The best one was when Tom Brady almost threw the Lombardi Trophy into the ocean when he was hammered.
All-time moment.
Remember, he was getting carried by Gronk. That is one of the best sports moments that Tom Brady, the GOAT.
Hey, the avocado tequila, you know?
Yeah, seriously. Drinks twice a year. And
apparently,
it's
just like regular tequila.
Yeah. Oh, I think we found out.
It was such a good idea, too. The boat parade, it was COVID, you know, and they were trying to keep people kind of separate. It was Tampa, and it was awesome. And then here comes Brady, just schnockered out of his mind, just throwing the Lombardi trophy from boat to boat. What a legend.
Yeah, that was a good moment for Tom Brady. When Tom Brady lets loose, there's a viral video of him out now jamming to, was it Drake at Coachella or somebody?
I don't think Drake's at Coachella.
Who was it? Kendrick. No, Travis Scott. Have you guys seen that? Tom Brady's in the front row of Travis Scott dancing.
Yeah, his son looks mortified.
Yeah. Tom Brady having a good time is always fun little social video.
Big question, will Tom Brady draft Shedeur Sanders? Let's bring it back full circle.
Ah.
Tom Brady in charge now at the Las Vegas Raiders.
This is where she gets paid the big bucks.
That's me.
Yeah, is anyone else asking that question too?
You know,
No.
But, I get it. Gino's there. I understand.
You've actually now said it's a sure thing that Shedeur is going to New Orleans, Vegas.
And Pittsburgh. Yeah. And the Giants, I think, are still very much in play.
You know, there's only one Shedeur.
Are we sure?
Yeah. I mean, Deion can do a lot of things. He cannot clone his sons.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Okay, first thing for you, Shedeur Sanders. First round, you predicting a fall? Or is this all smoke screens? I say smoke screens. And then secondly, best trophy in sports? It's almost like, is it even a conversation? It's a Stanley Cup. It comes with its own superstition. Like, it's got everything. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It is the Maggie and Parleff Show. You want to know the irony about hockey, too? Is that all the other awards, I don't think it was commonly known because they have other names. You know, the Lady Bing, and, you know, they're not just what they say. It's not like the NBA where it's like most improved.
The Conn Smythe Trophy.
Exactly. But the Stanley Cup, most iconic. Everyone knows it.
The Vezina Trophy.
Yeah, Vezina.
Yeah, sure.
888-710.
Hockey guy Manny.
Manny Pucks. 888-710-4476. Shedeur Sanders gets us going. Best trophy in sports, if you'd like that. And coming up next, big things are going on in the Bay Area today. Who's showing up for the 49ers voluntary workouts? Brock Purdy? George Kittle? Are they going to be there? Fred Warner? Get to that next, MVP.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We're trying to figure out where Shedeur Sanders will be drafted. He could go 3. He could go 9. He could go 21. He could go 46. He could go 68. And by the end of this process, he's going to be a 7th-round pick.
Because
he's been irrelevant. He's been falling and rising and falling and rising. I do remember one draft prospect who people thought could go 3 or could fall out of the first round. And he actually reminds me a little bit of Shedeur Sanders. Geno Smith. Everyone had him 3 to the Raiders. I think it was 3 to the Raiders. Raiders worked him out. Raiders were all into him. Was there a million times. Passed on him, and then he fell to the second round. I don't think that happens with Shedeur Sanders, but it is funny, the wide range on Shedeur Sanders. I mean, you look at a mock draft. Originally, he was 2, then 3, and now people are dropping him. It's unusual.
Yeah. I mean, some of the other ones that we've seen, it end up, you know, going the kind of the same way as Geno, like Malik Willis, people thought was going to be Will Levis.
Will Levis, yeah.
But he's so different than those guys. Like Malik Willis and Will Levis were like big athlete, big arm, not polished. Like Shedeur is the opposite of that. Although Geno was pretty polished at West Virginia.
Geno was probably more successful than, he was in that run and shoot offense. He was a killer in college.
But again, like the other guys were really a lot more projects. It's going to absolutely be a beauty in the eye of the beholder thing, because either if you're a team that would have, like the Colts, that just took a flyer on Anthony Richardson, who had 3 college starts and was all athleticism, all upside, mm-hmm. or say you love Jalen Milroe, who played in a lot more games and bigger games than Anthony Richardson at Alabama, but profiles like a similar way, then you're not going to want Shedeur Sanders. Like, then that's not going to be your guy. If you do want a little more of a, you know, timing, rhythm, accuracy, all that stuff, then you're going to like Shedeur a little more. But I'm a classic pocket passer.
Which is funny because he never threw on time and he never stayed in the pocket at all. Not once. And I ever said, maybe 4
running for his life.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so people are assuming that he's a good pocket and timing quarterback, although there was no protection to be this timing quarterback in Colorado. So it's kind of funny. He does have to, a lot of analysts have said, and you brought it out in the beginning of the season, he tends to drift away from the pressure, not step up.
Yep.
One thing about Jackson Dart is not wildly talented, but he does step up into the pocket. So it's interesting to see how these quarterbacks are evaluated. You're right. Do you go traits, Jalen Milroe, or do you go production, Shedeur Sanders? It's a great question. I think every team faces. I think you would probably lean production.
You
would not want Will Levis.
No, I'm not that guy. Because we talked to Quincy Avery yesterday, right? And he's like a quarterback guru who's trained 300 different quarterbacks. And to be fair, not high on Shedeur. So I'm splitting with him on that. But one thing that he did say that was really hard to coach up at the next level is accuracy. I think we look at Josh Allen and we're like, hey, he wasn't that accurate in college. And look what happened in the NFL. But the way that Quincy and other people who are really in the know on this stuff define accuracy is not completion percentage, which Shedeur's is through the roof, 74%. But it's not that. It's do you hit a guy in stride and the timing is perfect that your receiver, tight end, whatever, can make a play off of that. That's how the real people define accuracy, not some silly completion percentage, bubble screens, stuff like that can goose your completion percentage.
But that's exactly what happened to Shedeur. He was thrown behind the line of scrimmage all the time. I mean, the teams watch that. But Jalen Hurts was actually had a decent percentage, but he was not accurate. That's and I think it took Jalen Hurts a long time to get really accurate. So
it's few and far between guys who can develop that skill at the pro level, is what Quincy was saying.
Yeah, and Jalen Hurts was a second round pick. I think a lot of these guys we're talking about, maybe not Shador, but Jaxson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Tyler Shuck, those are second round picks. I mean, they're not. They'll probably go for it. That's what Quincy also said. He's like, demand is a big deal here.
Mm-hmm. 888-710-4ISN. Mark's in Ohio. What's up, Mark? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I have a lot of questions about how they evaluate quarterbacks. Like, I don't understand how, like, someone like Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy are first-round prospects, and then someone like Jaxson Dart comes out of nowhere. Like, I have never even heard of the guy until we started talking NFL draft.
Did you watch him beat Georgia this year? You didn't see Jaxson Dart beat Kirby Smart?
I have very little time. I just listen to you guys on the radio, and that's pretty much it. But, like, yet someone like Will Howard, who won a national championship, is only a third-round prospect. What I do know is that, like, I can judge character. I'm pretty good at judging a person's character. And Kenny Pickett, for example, I thought bust the entire time. I'm a Pittsburgh fan because he just – it's how they handle getting money, getting fame. And he, you know, in his first rookie year, you hear about him being out at the club and all those things. Whereas with Shador, I can imagine that's one thing you don't have to worry about is because of who his father is.
Right.
That he'll be able to handle the same. He probably already has good character, knows how to he's all football. It's what's important to him, I believe. And so those are the things that I see in Shador that I like.
Mark, thank you for the phone call. Sorry, who did Mark say was out at the club?
Kenny Pickett, which I love. I don't think that's true, but I would love to see Kenny Pickett at the club.
Big club scene in Pittsburgh? Probably.
I mean, I don't know. I was just looking. I was like, I think Kenny Pickett's been married forever. Yeah, he was married at 21 to...
Maybe the wife's at the club,
too. To a Princeton soccer player. Yeah, he is. Seems like a happily married man, but he could be right. Something went wrong with Kenny Pickett. People rip Kenny Pickett because he didn't want to stay and compete for a job.
Yeah.
I do think there might be some character competitive issues. I don't think he's out partying all night, but maybe Mark knows more.
Maybe Mark's got his ear to the streets, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And talking to the bouncers, talking to the people under the VIP, the velvet ropes.
I mean, Kenny Pickett is also, I've seen a lot of interviews with him. He seems like a very nice person. He does not seem like a troublemaker. But I also agree with Shador grew up a pro. I think Shador knows how to be a pro. So that point is accurate.
What's the line that you guys love from Batman about Bane when he's like, you entered the darkness, but I was born into it. I'm going to butcher that line. Where's EJ when we need him?
Pennsylvania.
That sounds about right.
Right. Shador's born into the fame game. He'd have to learn it.
Yeah, but
it's
innate. I mean,
it's second nature.
But teams, they're definitely old school coaches. Like, wait, we're drafting a quarterback who has to record a podcast twice a week, like that.
That's the least of their issues. I mean, a team would love that right now.
I don't think so. You think an old school coach would love that?
First of all, who's old school anymore? And secondly, I think the podcast. I think teams nowadays just sort of take that. Like if. I don't think that scares them off. I think arrest warrants scare them off.
Sounds like something is. I think famous dads who also know how to coach can scare somebody off. I think there are a lot of side things that people question about Shador. I think honestly, Deion is the biggest one. I think Deion's a much. You can't say that this is a normal situation.
No, it's not.
Kenny Pickett's dad was not a Hall of Fame player who's now an outstanding college football coach. That is not the situation.
That is true. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. But we are not going to be talking about the same things when Arch Manning gets drafted. Or are we?
That's a great point. Yeah, but, you know, Cooper has no interest in coaching. He's too busy doing his little funny segments on Fox. Yeah, Cooper is harmless.
Okay, if we gave Steve Sarkisian truth serum, do you think he has heard from the Mannings this year?
Oh, definitely. But that's part of the deal. How do you think you got Arch to go there? You're like, yeah, whatever you guys want.
CeeLo is here with updates for us on this fine Tuesday. Hey, CeeLo.
Good morning. Got a riddle sponsored by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. That was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com. So there was no 21-0 run for the Knicks this time around, but they did rally from a 15-point deficit to tie in quarter number four before Dennis Schroeder drained a huge three for the Pistons, and then Detroit got the stop they needed on the other end of the floor.
Tom Thibodeau opting not to call timeout. Shot clock and game clock nearly identical. Brunson on the drive, gets inside, up top to Bridges. Bridges a three, short, rebound taken by Durham. Now the Knicks have to foul. And they foul Schroeder.
That's Mike Breen on MSG in New York. The Pistons would put it away at the free throw line and prevailed over the Knicks 100-94, snapping their NBA record 15-game postseason losing streak dating back to May of 2008, which coincidentally is when I graduated college. And I'm now 39, so it's been a bit.
Congrats to the Pistons.
Yes.
You know what's funny? I don't see a lot of people are killing Tom Thibodeau this morning for a lot of different things, but I thought this too. Mike Breen just said it on the call. I didn't hear that. When he said electing not to call timeout, he had two timeouts there, but I don't think Thibodeau's getting crushed for that because they're kind of in the transition offense. Maybe you don't want to give Detroit a chance to get their defense set. Perloff, did that stand out to you that they didn't call timeout and set up a play?
No, I was too busy wiping throw up off my chest from trying to watch the Knicks for 60 minutes.
Wow.
That was
60 minutes.
48 minutes. That was the worst.
Felt like 60.
Yeah, I hear that. Actually is a really interesting point about the timeout. And
I kind of agree, though,
because Bridges did get a good look. I kind of agree they could have gotten. The problem is the defense would have been set. It would have been harder to get a look. It's really hard to get a good three-point look in a half-court situation. So I think that actually was the right move. But did you guys follow I think the nation got to see the Knicks for the first time in a standalone game last night and did not like it. That was bad scene.
Their lowest scoring output of the season, I believe.
I mean, the foul baiting by Jalen Brunson, I think, was... That's like one where I think Silver heard about that. It is awful. It's just awful to watch in every possible
Detroit
way.
Pistons still shot about 15 more free throws than the New York Knicks.
Everybody I follow on Twitter is like, what is going on here?
Shot 10 free throws going into
Dude,
that
Dude, come on. How did the Knicks get back into the game?
At the free throw line.
Jalen Brunson flopping like a goldfish out of a tank. It was terrible.
I think he was doing what he had to do. The problem is, did he actually have to do that? You know, I just don't understand why Carl Anthony Towns wasn't more involved. It's basically from the 6-minute mark of the fourth quarter on to the end.
Most of the second half, really. But yes, especially that.
Did anybody except Brunson shoot in the...
I mean, Josh Hart had a couple...
It was awful.
Big moments.
Missed
Brunson just
three.
Fouling.
Short on a three, but then he hit a big three.
Deuce McBride banked in a huge three to bring Knicks closer in during that run in the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just to watch Brunson fend off with his arm and then flop, it's very bad. It's like James Harden, but a little bit shorter. It was bad. That's all I will say about that.
The foul stuff was a theme afterwards. Physical game, Detroit on the road, as Manny just alluded to, 34 free throw attempts to 19 for the Knicks.
Egregious.
The aforementioned Tom Thibodeau afterwards, not happy about it.
Look, I really don't give a crap how they call the game as long as it's consistent on both sides. So if Cunningham's driving and there's marginal contact and he's getting to the line, then Jalen deserves to be getting to the line. It's really that simple.
So there we go. We got the mental warfare in play ahead of game three, which will be in Detroit Thursday night. He mentioned Cade Cunningham, who certainly bounced back offensively. Team high 33 points to go along with 12 rebounds as the Pistons get even at one apiece.
I think that's the issue with the NBA, the marginal contact. That's the conversation. That's a word that's been thrown around recently that I feel as though NBA officials do not know what marginal contact is. The referees don't know what marginal contact is. The Mike Breen doesn't know. He admitted to it yesterday. He doesn't know what marginal contact is. The fans don't know what marginal contact
is. They like it being vague, Manny.
It's not what you want.
It's hard with guys like Luka and Harden. It's definitely not pretty basketball. And Brunson. Now, this is the game.
Trey Young was another guy.
But he's not as physical. But
it's the originator of it.
Yeah, Trey Young. But it's the slow guys who back in. And it just kind of makes the game grind to a halt.
But what Trey Young used to do was stick his hip out and get the foul like that. What Brunson does is just stop in his tracks. And, you know, the defender can't do anything about
jerky.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is he looks like he's going to get hurt every second of the game.
Brunson?
Yeah.
He's wildly talented. I mean, he's incredible at basketball. Yeah. It's just not fun to watch.
Another trip to the locker room. I forget if it was late third
that
or fourth.
Bathroom trip? I was wondering that.
I don't know
what
if it was
guys
bathroom.
Can't
the other
be bathroom
day,
at that time of the game.
The other like, day, you changed the sneakers
like
the other
four,
night.
Yeah, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Like 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Jalen Brunson goes back into the locker room, and my heart sank.
Dude, that's not a pee situation. That's not a number one or a number two.
Because he was in there for a couple minutes.
Rick Brunson went back into the locker room with him, and whenever Rick goes back, it's usually something that you know makes me want to bite my nails.
Like a lower leg injury, you're saying? Yeah,
it doesn't matter whatever type of injury. Because like Maggie said, you know, every time that I see him move, I get scared because it feels like Brunson's going to get hurt at any moment.
That is, I was actually going to text you guys. I was wondering, did Jalen Brunson just go to the bathroom or did he hurt his ankle?
Can you imagine taking a pee break with 4 minutes left to go in a one possession game?
No, I was thinking it was something playoffs? Else. I was thinking his stomach got so upset. Sometimes that happens. You know, you're running around out there.
The adrenaline takes that away.
That wasn't for the park.
Bobby Hurley left in the middle of a national title game. We all knew that.
Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the ankle already being an issue and the fact that he rolled it again in game one and seemingly went and changed his sneakers, maybe I'd be like, bathroom, stomach break. But the fact that this is twice now in two games, he's gone back there.
So he tapes it up and puts on new sneakers. Is that?
I don't know. He definitely seemed to change the shoes in game one. I couldn't tell you if he changed them last night, but he definitely seemed to get hobbled again, disappeared for a little bit, came back.
He doesn't have strength in that ankle. Yeah. What, he missed 15 games, basically a month?
Yep.
Pretty much.
He's not 100%.
In Denver, you got a late three from Norm Powell, put LA up by three, and the Clippers end up winning by that margin over the Nuggets, 105-102. Kawhi Leonard, a throwback performance, 39 points on 15 of 19 shooting. Guy who's had to sit and watch the last 2 years with the chronic knee issue said after the game, quote, "I'm just happy I'm able to move. That's what I'm taking pride in, is just being healthy." So that series is now even as well. Game three also Thursday night and shifting to Los Angeles. Speaking of LA, busy night of playoff action on NHL ice as well.
Yes.
And a wild one between the Kings and the Oilers.
Trophy.
Edmonton erased a 4-goal deficit to pull even with the Kings on a Connor McDavid goal with about 90 seconds left in the third period. But then less than a minute later,
that's broken up by Gavrikov. Racing up ice. More for LA. Hits the brakes. Hits the trailer. Now
that call from ESPN is Philip Deneau's second of the night, put the Kings back in front with 42 seconds remaining, and LA prevailed over Edmonton 6-5 in the series opener. In Dallas, they went to overtime. Colin Blackwell's winner sent the Stars past the Avalanche 4-3 to even that series at 1. Winnipeg topped St. Louis 2-1 to go up 2-0 on St. Louis. And after blowing a 2-0 lead of a young Montreal team, the one-seed Capitals turned to the great eight to get the job done in OT. First career playoff OT winner for Alex Ovechkin, his second goal of the game as the Capitals prevailed over Montreal 3-2 to open up that series.
That's awesome.
Kind of feel like it's setting up to be a real storybook here for Ovechkin in this season.
Certainly could be.
CeeLo, thank you very much. Coming up, the one draft pick that will be taken in the first round we know of that could have the biggest impact right away. Not year one, week one.
Mm.
We'll tell you who it is. It's Maggie Perlow.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. You ever listen to us on satellite radio? We are on a new channel, 375. Mm-hmm. Make sure to put that in your presets. We're excited to be on 375. Of course, you can always check us out on the rewind function on the Odyssey app. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitch. We're on Twitter. We're everywhere you want to be. I know right now, Perloff, it is not very much in style to take running backs in the first round. We've seen a couple here and there, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
But it's not really the trend today, right? It's very few and far between. This is not like in the right. 80s and 90s where it was no-brainer running backs for going top of the draft.
Yeah, so there was a dip in running backs going.
Right. See, to me, I think Ashton Jeanty is clearly going to, you know, be one of those guys that's an outlier. He's going to buck this trend. He's definitely going first round. Top five maybe is the latest rumor is that the Jacksonville Jaguars are very, very interested in Ashton Jeanty. The question is he the guy in this draft that has the ability to impact a team in a positive way? I'm not saying the first year, week one, like he is getting carries. He's out on the field scoring a touchdown week one. Like he's going to be a high fantasy draft person, all that.
Are you kidding? Absolutely. By the way, I think that trend is over because Saquon Barkley killed it last year.
Yeah, but not for the Giants who drafted him.
Well, I just think that they're going to have three first-round picks. I think Amarian Hampton goes top 15 for sure. He's the other. I think both Jeanty and Hampton are week one starters. I think they're both top five picks in fantasy. I think Jeanty's probably two or three in fantasy football. Maybe even, listen, Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley aren't young. So I think he is immediately expected to be the highest end running back. I'll bet you the odds of him leading the league in rushing are close, you know, are reasonable. Yeah, he should get in there, whether he goes to Jacksonville, the Raiders, even Chicago with Ben Johnson. I think all those teams who sit at number 10 in the draft, he's going to immediately hit. But I also think I think the trend is gone. Now running backs are back because I think Travion Henderson is going to be a star immediately too. He'll go to a Washington or a Denver and just kill it. Mm. I think we're about to see the year of the rookie running back and Jeanty's going to lead the way. I think he's Barry Sanders light. I think he's going to have that kind of impact. I don't know.
Winning rookie of the year?
I think Hampton would be his biggest competition. I think those Amarian Hampton who will probably go 13, 14, 15.
Right.
I think one of the running backs will beat the quarterbacks for sure. I'll bet you the odds on Jeanty. I would go Jeanty rookie of the year by a mile. I mean, what's your pick, and how can you convince yourself otherwise?
Yeah, he's so good. He's so ready to go. My one thing about Jeanty is even if you go to the Raiders, who I think don't have a terrible offensive line, even if you go to Jacksonville, offensive line kind of work in progress there, but you have Trevor Lawrence, you do have ETN. But you maybe have a team, like, is it possible the Jags are a thing this year in the AFC South? It's possible. If Trevor Lawrence comes back healthy, new head coach, you know, they're getting no buzz right now whatsoever. But that's also because it's Jacksonville. It's possible. I just don't know how much it's going to translate to winning games, and I don't know how you can expect it to translate to winning games. Okay, maybe Chicago. Chicago might actually be a rocket ship. They might be next year's Washington Commanders, you know, with Caleb Williams, and we'll see what happens with Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. That's the very optimistic side of the of Chicago playing in a tough division. I love Genty. I think he's going to be good. I just don't know. Like, Bijan Robinson was very, very good. It didn't really impact winning games, though.
Yeah. I think Genty's better, a much better prospect than Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson was very good at Texas, and he was also a really good receiver. Genty is totally different level. The broken tackles and all that, I don't think the advanced metrics on Bijan were anything like that. Genty's unique. Here's the thing, you say about the Raiders, they're not going to be good, but how much better are they if they have a running game? Geno Smith is not good in third and nine. He's really good, I'm stealing the stake, at third and two. So it is the number one thing to help Geno Smith would be a running game. He performs much better when he's in pass-friendly situations. Same with any quarterback. Yeah. So I think it's a big issue for... I think Genty would really help the Raiders because he's really good at breaking tackles. So even if the line isn't perfect, he'll get you three instead of two.
So I think of all the non-quarterbacks who will impact winning the most in their rookie season, it's got to be Travis Hunter. And that's no disrespect to Genty. I love Genty. Yeah, yeah. Ron and Boise, we love you, Boise. We are huge Genty fans. But if you're asking me, you know, I thought that Travis Hunter should only play on one side of the ball this rookie year and kind of ease your way in. You got a long career, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think the Cleveland Browns are not going to take my advice, and I think they're probably going to throw him out there. And by the middle of the season, he's playing both ways in a pretty significant way. So I think you have to say it's Hunter just because he's going to literally be impacting both sides of the ball. So I think Hunter will have more of an immediate impact than Ashton Genty. Maybe not from a fantasy perspective, but from an actual wins and losses perspective.
Yeah, I would still go Genty because it's harder for a wide receiver to impact. You could be right because of the flukiness of playing both ways.
Yep.
But think about last year, Marvin Harrison Jr. was an outstanding prospect. They never threw him the ball.
I know.
So that's what I'm a little worried about in Cleveland is that they won't get him. He's a little dependent on another player. Ashton Genty, less dependent. I'd feel safer. And I'll bet you when the odds come out for Rookie of the Year, I'll bet you Genty's won over Travis Hunter too. I mean,
yeah, but
you
the novelty of Hunter, I think, pushed him over the top of the Heisman over Genty.
Yeah, exactly. Would that be funny if it was back-to-back years where the same debate? I still think, you know, rookie running back, you don't need any experience. You just get the ball and go to the hole.
Right.
Not to be oversimplifying. And Genty's really good at the other stuff too. He's a good receiver. I think he's going to be perfect.
And no one's ever thought, oh, this guy could have a fumbling issue or something like that. You know,
nope.
So I'll knock out a wood for him.
Yeah,
there.
Until you just brought it up and put it in his head.
The one thing is, though, about where Genty, I think, could get the nod over Travis Hunter, so I'll in some ways kind of go against my own argument here, which has nothing to do with the player. Who is playing quarterback in Cleveland? Your guess is as good as mine. And I know who's playing quarterback in Jacksonville. And if Trevor Lawrence
and
can
Vegas
actually...
too, yeah.
And the Raiders.
Yeah.
But Jacksonville... Trevor Lawrence has the biggest upside of any guy we're talking about. Still, all these years later.
Yeah. I think Geno could have a big year indoors. We could get to that later. Omarion Hampton going to kill it. And Travion. It's going to be awesome. Year of the running back.
Coming up, we got to cut somebody's mic permanently. It's not Perloff.